This is Temple in Heilprin on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
Yes, welcome into Temple and Heilprin, live from Monk's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie. A busy Monk's in Sun Prairie today is, I think the weather kind of has people coming out, Jesse. It's getting to that time of year. I'm kind of surprised. They have an outdoor bar here. I was joking with one of the bartenders. He needs to get that thing open because it's just about that time. It's maybe a little cool today. It's about 55, but it's getting to that time. This is some good drinking and eating weather.
You live in Wisconsin, you got to earn your summers. Yeah. And so if it gets above 50, I'm all in. Put the shorts on.
Yeah. So we have enjoyed our time out here at Monk's. We've been here almost every, we've been here every Thursday. Sometimes it's been both of us. Sometimes it's been one of us. Every Thursday, dating back to late August. This is our final time out here this year. So we certainly appreciate Monk's hosting us all year and have had a really good time. And we've seen Jesse's appetite change and seen my drinking habits change over the year. But what'd you have today? It's a real good-looking salad there.
It's a salad. Probably had 2,000 calories, but, you know, they don't have the nutrition info, so I'm going to pretend it had, like, 400.
Yeah, no, it's all good. So no Brewers game today. They got rained out in Cincinnati. They're going to be in Baltimore tomorrow. And then they get Corbin Burns this weekend at some point, the former Cy Young Award winner for Milwaukee. That's going to be an interesting game. That's coming up on Sunday. We've got some Masters, which is always fun to watch here at Monk's, and then some other baseball games going on as well. But basketball is completely done, at least college-wise, completely done. Playoffs, NBA playoffs, going to get going April 20th. We'll see if Giannis is able to take part, deal with that calf strain. But college basketball is done. National champion, once again, is not in the Big Ten. I believe it's now 0-8 in championship games since Michigan State won their title in 2000. 0-8 for Big Ten teams. And if you throw in the women, I think it's 0-13. It's not great.
Woof.
Woof.
Well, hey, at least Purdue made the national title game. They were a fun team to watch.
What?
I liked watching Purdue.
In what world were they a fun team to watch?
I liked watching Zach Edey, and I liked watching how everybody else played off of him. But I'm not approaching it from a Wisconsin fan perspective.
It's not about It's not about a Wisconsin fan perspective. It's about a college basketball fan perspective. And everybody getting introduced that had not seen Zach Edey for the last couple of years, unlike we have. I think that's a little bit different. We've seen so much of Zach Edey, or at least, we have seen so much of Zach Edey that you kind of don't want to see any more of Zach Edey. The entire country got a little bit of a whiff of what facing Zach Edey and having to watch Zach Edey play basketball. He is a talented basketball player. He's also very tall and very big.
Yes, and extremely difficult to officiate.
Yes, his game in college translates much better than it does in the NBA. That said, he's going to get drafted. So we are going to have to see more of Zach Edey. He's not like he's going to end up overseas or anything like that. He's going to get drafted, and he's going to have an opportunity in the NBA. We'll see how far it can go. We're going to talk basketball in the transfer portal because obviously Wisconsin had some guys go in. Nobody coming this way yet, but I think we'll get some that to pick up next week as the dead period ends. Is it the 11th? It's right around this time. The dead period ends and guys can take business. I think it might be today is the last day of the dead period because I think Frankie Fiddler is going to Michigan State this weekend. So a lot of interesting stuff going on the portal side of things as well for college basketball. The college football portal will open up here in 5 days, which I know Luke Fickell was a big fan of when we had a chance to talk to him this week. We'll touch on the portal as well. But spring ball is going on. We are six practices into spring. We saw practice number six this morning inside the McLean Center. There were some nice performances, right? Trech Kakahuna had a nice day. Some other players stood out. But what I wanted to do here, because we have seen six practices, we're a third of the way into this. I wanted to kind of break down who's been most impressive to us. And so I asked you this morning to put together your top five most impressive players. And we kind of joked. I'm like, well, maybe we can do a draft, and we'll have like 10 of them. And then I thought, well, maybe we might this is not a shot at at Wisconsin, so please don't take it as such. But I thought maybe we'd struggle to maybe find 10 that have really stood out.
Yeah.
That have really stood out. Not guys that made a play here or there, but like have consistently stood out. So I'll let you have your first pick. Who has been the guy that has stood out to you more than any other so far?
Oh, man, that's really hard. And the reason it's hard is because you'll have one guy have a really good day, and it'll be somebody totally different the next day. And I think it's hard in part, too, because I'm not necessarily looking for the guys who have done it before. Like, Ches Malusi, Will Pauling. Last year, Will Pauling was the guy every practice. And I'm sure he's had a good spring, but you're sort of used to it.
Yeah.
So it's who haven't we seen starting to emerge? So that's part of the preface here. Number one, I had a group of five and didn't pick a number one.
Too bad.
But if I can pick a number one.
Putting you on the spot.
Yeah. I'm going to go with, I'm just going to say Tretch Kekahuna. I just want to put him at the top.
Because you want to talk about him today.
Yeah. Today was his best practice, as far as I'm concerned. He put the move of spring on two different defensive backs, got a short pass into the, I think it was like the left flat or something like that. And just made magic happen. And
it was Justin Taylor first,
yep.
And then it was Owen Arnett after him. Put him on skates.
The kind of juke move that you wish you could do in Madden.
Yes.
And that's what that's what can make him special. He has the speed, but it's the kind of stuff he can do once he gets the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
So, like I said, this was his best practice to me out of the six, and there are several other guys who I think maybe have been a little bit more consistent, but strictly from an entertainment standpoint, I mean, he's the guy in my mind.
It's funny because I think we were mocking it, certainly not patting ourselves on the back, but like, was really excited to see him in the bowl game because of what we saw in his high school tape, and he didn't get to take part in fall camp at all because he had broken his foot, and so we didn't get that. But who did we talk to? We talked to Tanner Bordellini out here last October. Like, I think it was their bye week. And was asking him about some of the young guys, and he was one of the guys that was standing out to him. He caught a touchdown pass with the threes, and he just never really got his opportunities in the regular season because he was so far behind. And then you had Skylar Bell and Chimere Dike and all these guys in front of him, and then they're not there for the bowl game. And he was able to step in, and you kind of saw what I think excites people a lot. I mean, he put a move on one of the top ranked linebackers in the country, like the 2023 recruiting class in that bowl game. It was just a sick move. And this morning was kind of some of the same. So I'm intrigued by it. I'm very intrigued when it's him and Will Pauling on the field at the same time and some of the things that they can do. And, you know, maybe if they don't have that guy that develops to the point on the outside, that develops to the point where, you know, he needs that they want him to, well, then maybe Will Pauling gets, you know, can play a little bit on the outside. You know, he's not necessarily the body type for the outside, but he could do it. I mean, it's you want prototypical slot guys, I get that, but you want your most productive players on the field, and those two guys I think have a chance to be very productive. And last year Skylar Bell was like mid 30 catches wise, but was also less than 7 yards, or like right around 7 yards a catch. That's not going to be Tretch.
Yeah, Tretch to me is a big reason why I think this wide receiver core overall will be better, because Skylar Bell, that was not his natural position. He played on the outside when he had his good season in 2022, and then they moved him into the slot, and obviously his yards per catch went down, and he had several receptions, but I just think Tretch is the perfect fit for what they want to do there, and that's why getting him in the end and his recruitment was such a big deal.
Yeah, so Tretch, I think, is a good number one. I mean, you certainly could say he's number one. I think a couple other guys come to mind. But I'm going to go with the guy that you mentioned, Ches Malusi. I'm going to go with the guy in Tywee Walker, who is somebody I think, at least for me, was maybe a little bit of an afterthought when we were talking about the running backs, because he was a little bit of a surprise that nobody thought, really? You're adding, he's not like a burner. Like this when he was first announced, he's not a burner. He's not like somebody that's been ultra productive at Oklahoma. You have Ches Malusi coming back. You have these three guys coming in the fall. But he has turned heads. Almost every time he touches the ball, he turns heads. And I think the other thing that was really stood out about his game, more so than just his explosiveness, which I don't necessarily know that it showed up on film. It has showed up this spring. but it's his catching ability. He catches it so well out of the backfield. He's just so smooth and so easy catching passes that I feel like that can be another addition to what they do, assuming they want to involve him. And we'll see what, again, when they bring in Dylan Jones and they bring in Darian Dupree, maybe the reps get even different. But I think Tywee Walker right now, along with Chez Mlusi, have kind of established themselves as the top two. And we'll see how the rest of the spring plays out, because I know some people liked what Cade Akemele has done, and I know Jackson Aker is still there too, but I really like what Tywee Walker brings. And we get to talk to him tomorrow. We haven't had a chance to talk to him yet.
Yeah, if we were having this conversation maybe after Saturday's practice, more top of mind, maybe would have been number one in my book. Either way, he's in the conversation among the most impressive standouts, in part because you didn't necessarily know what to expect. And you're right, Zach. You look at the roster coming into spring's 5'9", 222 pounds. You think, oh, this is just going to be some type of bowling ball, and can he give you something because he was a reserve at Oklahoma? Is he that? Is he just the insurance policy if Chez Mlusi gets hurt? Are some of these freshmen going to pass him? Now, that could still be a possibility, but I think it feels very real to me that it's a legitimate 1-2 combo with Mlusi and Walker. And we should note, in practice, like, they are still rotating a ton of guys.
Yeah.
And you will see Jackson Aker get snaps before Tywee Walker sometimes, but when Walker is out there, it is noticeable. He does have really good burst for somebody that size, and I just think it's a good dynamic that Wisconsin needs.
I think our top fives are going to – we're just going to come up with the same five guys, so
yeah.
I'll let you go next. I think I know which way you're going here.
I'm going to go defense.
Yeah. And does he play an outside linebacker's position?
Yeah.
Okay.
You just pick a side. I'll say Leon Lowry.
Yeah.
Leon has been really good.
A problem, yeah.
Yeah, especially, and I think I wrote about this earlier, but last week he had a day where he had was living in the backfield.
Yeah, we don't count.
Sacks.
We don't do stats.
We don't do stats. But he had a couple sacks, some stops at the line of scrimmage. Just playing very physical and not afraid to get into it with some of the offensive linemen. And so he certainly brought an edge with him. And we know, why did they get guys like Leon Lowry and John Pius, which they've talked about the entire offseason? You wanted to add that length, that athleticism, and just be more dynamic off the edge so you can have more playmakers. Darryl Peterson was the team's leading sack getter last season. He had 4.5 sacks. You got to get more. And I think both he and John Pius have shown that they can do it. But Lowry... that's why they got him. He was a starter at Syracuse, so he's ready to go right now.
Over under 4.5 sacks for the leading sack getter on the Badgers this year.
I'm going to take over, because if it is not, wow, what a disappointing season it's going to be for the defense.
We had a really funny conversation this morning while watching practice, talking about last year and all the numbers that we thought the offense was going to put up.
Yeah.
And taking the over on all that stuff, and I'm like, you know what? I don't care what the number is this year. I'm taking the under on everything. That might be a little bit too pessimistic, but it's kind of the mindset that we're at right now.
Are you taking the under on the 4.5 sacks for the leading sack getter this year?
I said offense.
Okay.
I said offensive numbers.
All right.
If I set the over under at 5.5, I might take the under.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I don't want to sit here and say this pass rush is all of a sudden going to be great.
Yep.
I don't know that. All I can do is go based on what I see here, and when we talk about this, and I know this is just what happens when you're in spring ball and you're going against guys on the other side that are also on your team, it's like, okay, great, that's awesome that guy had all those sacks and all those TFLs. What the hell is happening with the offensive line?
Yes.
Right? So I'm not going to get overly excited about what Leon Lowry has done, other than just the flashing of the athletic ability that is there. For sure is there. And, we can throw probably John Pius into this as well, because I thought Thursday morning was his best practice. And consequently, it was the worst performance by the offense. No, I'm kidding. He played in the backfield as well with his opportunities. It is, I know we're not doing depth charts here, but like the top four at outside linebacker feel kind of set just based on what we've seen to this point with the two transfers, Aaron Witt and Darryl Peterson.
Well, it just makes sense. Look who they have. The only other guys on scholarship at that position are true freshmen early enrollees. Anilulu Fele and Thomas Heiberger. And I really like, if we're, as an offshoot to this conversation, young guys, because they've got 11 early enrollees who have popped at least a little bit. Heiberger is absolutely one of those guys, but I don't necessarily know that means he's going to elevate into the two deep when you consider that the other four guys are all upperclassmen. But it's a good group overall. And Pius, absolutely, I agree with you, Zach, that Thursday's practice was his best. Living in the backfield, sometimes it's hard to tell, hey, was that actually a sack? Because for anybody listening, if you don't know, you shouldn't hit the quarterback. You might accidentally hit him and start a fight. But so you wonder, well, would that have been a sack? But he 4 or 5 sacks at least on practice, during practice, and that's why they brought those two guys in there. And I'm curious to see what kind of rotations they use. Will Darrell Peterson be a starter? Will he be used in situations? And Aaron Witt as well.
I think it's going to come down to which one of those guys is best at stopping the run. And we think Aaron Witt may be at the top of that list, and Darrell Peterson has that experience as well. But that is so pivotal to what they do. Like, we can talk about the pass rush all we want. They could not stop the run last year, which totally impacted their ability to stop the pass and get after the passer, because they were not in advantageous situations very often as a defense, which is a complete 180 from where they had been pretty much since 2013, more often than not, playing in third and long situations and able to ratchet up their pressure and get after the quarterback. And that was not always the case last year for them, because they couldn't stop the run in Big Ten play.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. All right, I want to go back to the other side of the ball. And you'll notice that it's a lot of the skill players that we're talking about, because that's just the way it is. But I think Quincy Burroughs has had a really solid first 6 practices. There are still, 9 practices left that we're going to get to see, and I think there are going to be other guys who can be able to step up. But Quincy had a really good day on Tuesday, and I think it's that size-speed combination that he possesses that maybe they don't really have at other points in the roster, kind of gives him a leg up in what they want on the outside.
Yeah, I think he's really made a move here early in the spring. When you consider, we thought we knew who 2 of these 3 starters are going to be, because you got Bryson Green coming back, had a really good game in the bowl game. Will Pauling had an exceptional season, but who's going to be that other guy on the outside? And there are several guys vying for that spot. Is it Vinny Anthony? Is it CJ Williams? Is it Quincy Burroughs? And of those 3, to me, Quincy has been the most consistent in terms of standing out and being a playmaker, whether it's down the field or even a possession guy. Can you just go over the middle and get 8 yards and pick up a first down? I think we've seen a little bit of both from him. Had a nice diving catch in the end zone for a touchdown earlier in the week. And so for a guy who only had, I think it was 4 receptions for 30 yards last year, I don't know that I expected this kind of a leap from him. And yes, still a long way to go, but he absolutely would be in the top 5 for me of guys who have stood out. And you're right, we're picking skill position guys, but awfully difficult to evaluate offensive line play and the defensive line.
Right.
They're still trying to figure out what that group's going to look like.
Yeah. So I think you could go a number of different ways with number 5 here, and I know we're kind of going 6 because I threw Pius in there, but I think you could go safety, but with what Charlie Jarvis has done, but it's kind of like a down the depth chart type of thing, but he's been everywhere. He has taken over from Amon Williams as being the guy of spring that then maybe we don't necessarily talk about at any other point of the year. I'm not going to go with him. I'm going to go with Max Lowe. I'm not going to go with him.
What? That was a fake out.
It was.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, I wanted to mention him because he's been pretty productive and he's laid some big hits. But I'm going to go with Max Lofi, a guy who I think has a chance to play this fall in the slot. He had an interception on Tuesday. He is a guy that physically has the attributes. And as we noted in the camp on Wednesday, he played a bunch of snaps there in 2022 before getting hurt and missing all of last year. If I were going to make a bold prediction, it's not a bold prediction, but I would say he ends up being Wisconsin's slot this year.
Interesting.
If they decide that Austin Brown is not the fit there.
I agree 100% with that. I think it'll end up being Austin Brown because, like Mike Tressel has said, they like that he is a bigger body. They liked it in the first time he really had that opportunity against LSU, against good skill position players. He did very well, and obviously you can still have Kamoi Latu and Hunter Wohler on the field roaming back there at safety. But, yeah, I think Lofi's experience matters. And I, based on what we've seen so far with Latu sidelined with an injury, he would certainly appear to be the next up in the slot.
Yep. So I intrigued. And again, with, I know R.J. Delancey is another name that many people thought was just going to come in and be that guy, similar to what Jason Maitre was last year. And I don't think that's going to be – I don't think that right now is going to be the case. But we're also going to see, as when Ricardo Hallman comes back, bodies move. And we'll see. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. What you will notice, and what we talked about for the last 20 minutes, what did we not talk about?
I feel like we haven't mentioned a single quarterback by name.
We have not. We're going to talk about that coming up next.
This is Temple and Heilprin, live from Mux Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
Welcome back into Temple and Heilprin. We are live at Monk's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie. Our final time out here. Certainly appreciate them hosting us all year. We talked in the first segment about some of the guys that stood out so far in spring ball through through six spring practices. We did not mention a single quarterback in any of the conversations that we had. So I know that's what people are wondering about, and they want to talk about the quarterback situation. And I don't have a better feel now, six practices in, as I did at the beginning, because I think at the beginning we went into this expecting Tyler Van Dyke to be the number one. We kind of got a heads up when we talked to Phil Longo for the camp that it wasn't necessarily going to be that way, and it certainly is not. Him and Brandon Locke have shared reps through six practices so far. I will say this. I know that they're working on stuff. I know that it's a developmental period. I know that we're not naming starters today. I get all of that. I would say that I have not been overly impressed with what we've seen from them. And there's a lot that goes into that, because they're playing with an offensive line, especially the second team group, that has a lot of young guys on it. Tyler Van Dyke's still learning the offense. There's a whole lot that goes into this. The defense usually has an advantage early in spring ball. There have been a throw here or there that certainly have stood out from both guys, but it just hasn't been consistent at this point.
Yeah, there haven't been a ton of wow moments, but again, Tyler Van Dyke is going through his first few weeks of actually repping this offense with his teammates, and I think there's something to be said for that. But I wrote this earlier in the week that my sense was there wouldn't be any definitive answer on who the starting quarterback was by the time spring practices ended on May 2nd, and maybe that will start to change. Certainly the first few practices, it was basically just one guy was going to go with the ones one time, and the next guy was going to go with the ones the second time, and maybe they're starting to move toward one guy will get more one reps or something like that so they can try to get a better feel. But I don't think you can say one guy has moved so far ahead. And I think the natural question is, well, what does that mean for Wisconsin football this season, especially when you remember what last year was like, where from day one, Tanner Mordecai was the guy and Braden Locke was more of the surprise because we just didn't know what to expect about any of those other guys, and he was the number two. And right now, that's not where Tyler Van Dyke is in relation to Locke, which we can discuss.
Here's the thing. Braden Locke is in a much better position now than he was coming in last
year.
Right? Like, he didn't have any experience whatsoever. Here's Tanner Mordecai, thrower of 72 touchdowns the previous 2 years coming in, and being that sixth-year guy, like, it was a little bit different. He was in his second year in college. Tanner was in his sixth. So there was that went into it. So it's a much different spot for him. And as much as he knew about the passing game because of what he did at Mississippi State under Mike Leach, the run game was different. There was a lot of difference to it. So he's in a better position now, knowledge-wise, and all that goes into it, and experience having played in those games that he did. So he's in a better position now than he was last year, which helps him in this competition. And I will say, me personally, I think guys certainly take jumps from one year to the next. probably know when they get experienced like he did. That said, you brought Tyler Van Dyke in here to be your starting quarterback. Whether you say it or not, it's kind of another bridge guy. Another bridge guy to get to the next guy, when Braden Locke was ready to be the guy, whether that is, 2025 or whatever it is going to be. I feel like that was the plan. And right now, that plan looks a little wonky.
I still think, and this is clearly speculation on my part because there is such a long way to go, but I still think Tyler Van Dyke is going to be the starter in the first game of the season.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, but there's a few things off of this. I had mentioned this on a previous show on the camp, but it's if you're a fan and you say, Braden Locke, he completed 50% of his passes. They were not very good on offense. And you think that's the version of Braden that's going to show up next season or is showing up right now. That's not an accurate representation of where he's at for the reasons that you laid out. He started three games. He played that second half against Iowa. And he is going into year two in Phil Longo's system, which makes a substantial difference. You're right about the run game. Remember when Braden said last season, if you checked into a run play under Mike Leach, you would get your butt chewed out at halftime, basically.
It was like if you had run more than four times, if Mike Leach looked at the city, you'd run more than four times, you were in deep trouble.
Yeah. So that was much different. And obviously you can't replicate game speed. So I think that's important. And when we talked to Tyler Van Dyke, by the way, because we did talk to the quarterbacks last week, he said that everybody's come in and they're full go. And I think I counted there's 54 guys on scholarship who were here last season, and now they're obviously not all on offense, but they are starting from a place that Van Dyke is not starting from, even though Van Dyke has multiple years of college experience. So I want to give some grace for that. At some point, though, I think you would like to see Van Dyke start to emerge and show himself to be the guy that he has been in the past, and that's the thing that I think Badgers fans are sort of hanging on to here is, well, can he recapture the magic of the year when he was ACC Rookie of the Year in 2021? Because otherwise, what exactly is going to propel this offense forward next season?
Right. Like, what does it mean if Braden Locke is a starting quarterback in your mind?
I think to some it will be disappointment. I think he will be a better quarterback, and I think overall this offense, I expect them to be better largely because they're coming from a place of being far below average. It was the fewest points they scored in a season in 19 years and didn't come anywhere close to meeting anyone's expectations, so you've got a low bar, but I think it'll be disappointing to a lot of people.
We'll see how it plays out. There's still 9 practices left in spring, then you have the entire summer and everything that goes along with that. I expect Tyler Van Dyke to be more comfortable as we go along here, but there have been a couple of wild throws. I think we've seen his arm strike jump off a little bit at times. Braden Locke he was the one that threw the one to Quincy Burroughs for the touchdown, which was an absolute dime of a deep pass. And I think he's gotten this game. The one that always comes to mind from last year is the Illinois game, the throw to Skylar Bell down the sideline that he just dropped in a bucket, and Tyler caught it, and Skylar caught it, and it set up the game-winning touchdown to Nolan Rucci. He's got that ability in his game. I think what I'd expect more of is a little bit more from Tyler Van Dyke being able to throw the ball down the field and having a little bit more success there too, but again, they haven't done a ton of it in practice.
Yeah, and I don't want to make it seem like neither of these guys are capable quarterbacks. Like, I think Braden has had some really strong moments here in spring ball, but I just think when you juxtapose it against, you got this guy coming in who's a multi-year starter at Miami, and why did you bring him here? Presumably it was to start. That's where the questions start to come in, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right, talk a little basketball coming up on the other side.
This is Temple in Heilprin, live from Mock's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
Welcome back into Temple and Heilprin. We are live at Monk's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie. Talk a little basketball now after spending some time with spring football. The Badger basketball team in the market for some players on the transfer portal It is that time of the year. Wisconsin losing Gus Yaldin and Connor Asijan, Isaac Lindsay and AJ Storr, those four in the portal heading elsewhere. Wisconsin, on the other hand, still has yet to bring anybody in. I think we will, as I said earlier in the show, I think get a little bit clearer picture next week. I know that Frankie Fiddler has told a Omaha radio station that he's going to be announcing his decision on Monday. He is down to
Creighton's in there.
Creighton's in there. Nebraska's in there.
Yep.
Wisconsin is in there. And then he's also visiting Michigan State this weekend. So we'll see how that goes. But obviously that one was the one that I think a lot of people thought was going to be the home run. Not the home run, but like not the shoe-in by any stretch, because there's money is involved here. But you had Chucky Hepburn, who played with him in high school. It felt like that was kind of going to go Wisconsin's way. And right now it's a little uncertain.
Well, when you consider the fact that he plans to make an announcement
on
the radio in Omaha on Monday morning.
See, that's the thing. It is in Omaha, but it's also the play-by-play guy for the Omaha team that he played for.
I just wonder if he's going to stay
college.
Home.
I mean, it certainly feels that maybe that would be the way. Like, what does Wisconsin have going for it? I mean, it's got playing time and it's got Chucky.
Yep.
So
those are good things to offer and an opportunity to play in the Big Ten at a program that's been pretty good for a long time.
You get to play at Creighton, you play in the Big East, which is home to a team that... And he's also said he wants to play for championships, and they feel like they're closer than Wisconsin at this point.
Yeah.
They play in the Big East, who only got three teams into the tournament, but one of them went pretty far, all the way.
Right? Yeah.
And Nebraska is the other one. They kind of... I don't know if they turned the corner this year, but they certainly, the way that they finished and finishing in the top four of the Big Ten, probably one of their best seasons, certainly under Fred Hoiberg, and so maybe that's also another option. But like it's NIL, it's opportunity, it's championship. There's a lot that goes into it, especially for him, a guy who stayed home to play his first 3 years of college basketball at Omaha, and now has an opportunity to take it to a little bit different spot. So we'll see if that's the way it ends up going for him. There have been some mentions of some other players that Wisconsin could potentially be interested in. Brandon Angel is one of them, the forward from Stanford, who Wisconsin offered, and it was kind of a whoever takes the scholarship first between him and Ben Carlson, and Ben Carlson ended up taking the scholarship and lasting a year.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say it. He lasted two years. The first year was a little bit of a tough one because of the back injury, and it was 2020, and it was all that horribleness. But he's an interesting player. I haven't heard a lot about that since he actually entered the portal, but I think he was somebody that certainly that they would be interested, you would think they would be interested in. A name that popped up recently, because Purdue has had a number of guys enter it, is Gillis, the forward who shot well north of 40% from three this year. A lot of that has to do with the attention that Zach Edey got and some of the shots that were available to guys. But he's in the portal. I know Purdue losing Edey, but they have a bunch of guys. They have another talented guys coming back, but they also have a really nice recruiting class coming in, too. I don't think that they're just going to be going away. But that would be a name that kind of stands out, a guy that could help you at the four.
Wisconsin has a couple scholarships to play with right now, and I think if you just evaluate what do they need on the roster, you can see by the guys that they have pursued so far. They need somebody athletic on the wing who can score, because you don't have A.J. Storr anymore. You'd like a guy who can play on both ends and help them be better defensively. And in a perfect world, you'd probably love to add a big to be able to help out in some capacity, just so you've got more on the front court, because their backcourt, you got Daniel Freitag coming in. I'm so intrigued by what he does this year. Obviously, you still have Chucky Hepburn, but is Freitag going to be ready to play right away? And does he just take minutes from Kamari McGee? I don't know. We'll have to see. But there is a clear need for somebody who can come in and be a scorer, and there are obviously a lot of guys out there. And if they don't end up with Frankly Fiddler, they're going to get somebody else. It's just a matter of how are the pieces going to fit into place, and now is the time when you really got to act and make it happen.
Yeah, Mason Gillis, I think he's rated as a 37th best player in the portal right now. You go and look at A.J. Storr, he's number three.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to replace what A.J. Storr gave them with one player. It's just not realistic because of his athleticism. That said, wasn't an overly efficient, like he scored 16 points a game. It wasn't an overly stretch, and he was either very on or not so on, but he also scored in double figures. Like, you count on him to score in double figures. Sometimes it just took a lot more shots to get there than other times. I think he scored in double figures every game but two in his time at Wisconsin. And his last game, obviously, is certainly not something that anybody is going to be talking about for in the positive for ages to come. But that goes for pretty much everybody on that roster outside of Max Klezmann. So we had a couple of overreact your nose, and I'll throw them at you here. Overreact your nose, the Badgers basketball team inability to land even a one portal player at this point is extremely alarming.
Oh, overreaction. Let's talk when the dust settles and we actually see who Wisconsin ended up with and where some of these other guys ended up as well. I know you're starting to get a little antsy because more and more guys are leaving and filling up that portal, but you need to see who they end up with.
Yeah.
So, and it's not like they're missing out right now on guys because they're committing elsewhere. This is part of the process.
Right. There are still a ton of guys in the portal that have not committed anywhere. Like, I don't want to say, I'm not, so like, he used the word alarming, so I'm not going to use the word alarming. I would say that the lack of talk about some of the guys that, you know, I don't know that anybody else is, I shouldn't say this, like the visits, like just, and I know this week has been there's been a dead period, so that'll be changing here a little bit. But they got Frankie Fiddler in before the dead period started. I'm anxious to see some potential names that could come in and look around here when things open back up tomorrow or this weekend. The other one was Wisconsin should break the bank and pay AJ Storr. Is that an overreaction or no?
That is insane. I would never do that. I'm
go for it.
I have a lot of, I mean, we've seen what's been reported out there on Twitter his camp wanted $1 million in Kansas.
Yeah.
And again, I can't verify this, but it was somebody on Twitter who seemed to have some knowledge of it. Kansas said their top end was $750,000. So if he thinks his going rate is $1 million, that's a really tough pill to swallow. Is one guy really worth $1 million? I mean, obviously, he had a very good season for Wisconsin and would make the Badgers, you would think, better next season. But could you find somebody comparable or close to comparable? And this is when you start getting into free agency and all that and salary caps. And I just don't – it's hard for me to wrap my head around one guy being worth that much money to a program.
Well, it depends what you're –
And
it depends
what your goal is.
No, well, it depends what your salary cap is.
That is true, too.
Because not all teams are working on the same salary.
Yes.
Cap, right? We heard, it was John Calipari that was reported that one of his asks in going to Arkansas was having at least $5 million to be able to build the team around. So whether that is, you know, and his, I'm sure his recruiting class costs quite a bit.
Yeah.
Right now, at least at Kentucky, was the number two recruiting class in the country. And all those guys, I know that was another thing that he asked for was, can I bring my recruiting class? And obviously the answer is yes, because it's the number two recruiting class in the country. And is there a huge difference between Lexington and going down
to Fayetteville?
There probably is. And I'm sure there's people in those two states that are like, what are you idiot? Yes, of course there's a huge difference, but in my northern mind, it is what it is. Like, you're there for how many months? Five? Six?
Yeah.
I guess in basketball it's a little bit different because you have to be there a little bit longer, but
I'm just thinking more and more about this question, and obviously with NIL and everything, it's opened up a can of worms that we just didn't have to deal with before, and I'm not saying that players shouldn't earn money, but I just, what would that say if you were a teammate and you knew that this dude was shopping himself around, but your school's willing to pay $1 million and you're sitting there making whatever it is that you're making? You're just going to have to get over it, I guess, because that's life. But it's just such a bizarre dynamic to me. But that's where we're at.
Well, and the team that he was connected to coming as soon as he went in the portal was Illinois.
Yeah.
They've already added two forwards, including Trey White from Louisville. So maybe that's not going to be the case. Also, what happens with that Kentucky job? Who ends up taking that Kentucky job? And could that potentially impact where some of these guys end up? Because they have struck out.
Yeah, Scott Drew turned it down.
Right? They've struck out on what you would think would be three of their top targets. It's Scott Drew and Danny Hurley, as well as Nate Oates at Alabama. So where do they go? A lot of, you know, like
they'll find somebody good. I'm not too worried about Kentucky.
I'm not either. I'm saying, but there's a domino effect that could potentially happen here. Mm-hmm. That with when Kentucky goes off the board, could there be some more player movement based on guys going different places? Is all I'm saying. But
yeah, in terms of
the idea is, could Wisconsin pay AJ Storr $1 million? I think they could. But I also think that they believe that paying two or three guys a total of that, and I know that Greg Gard said that their NIL budget has jumped significantly. I think it was three times the thing you told the Milwaukee radio station. It's like three times higher than it was last year. Now, we don't know the number that it was last year. But would the money be better spent on two to three guys as opposed to AJ Storr?
And I think that's another part of this to consider.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree too.
But it's got to be good guys.
Yes.
Like if you're going down, like if you miss on Frankie Fiddler and you miss on some of these other guys, then does it make sense?
Every program's got to have its own philosophy on what it believes in. And also, you're right, what it is able to spend on. And that's the challenge here is we have no idea what any budget is for certainly Wisconsin, because everyone seems to keep things close to the vest in terms of what type of resources are available. But I just would have a hard time wrapping my head around paying that much for one guy unless he's going to bring you a national title.
It's going to be I'm not going to say it. If it was a great number, we would know it.
You think so? I don't.
Did you see what happened? Was it the Oregon State running back? This week entered the portal, and I think it was Pete Thamel from ESPN reported it, and he also put along with it, he was scheduled to make $400,000 this year.
Huh.
He put that in the tweet. That's somebody at Oregon State just being livid that he is in the portal and going somewhere else.
Wow.
That's the only way you get that information, right? Someone being upset at Oregon State. Because otherwise, I don't know why that number is out there. That's kind of insane to me that number got thrown in there. You never see that.
No, you don't.
I'm a big fan of it, though.
Oh, I love it.
I'm a huge fan.
More transparency would be wonderful because, again, it's a wild, wild west, and no one says anything. And if they say, it's all speculation.
Yep. All right, we'll close up the show coming up on the other side.
This is Temple in Heilprin, live from Mux Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
Welcome back into Temple and Heilprin. We are at Monk's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie. Final time for this year. Certainly appreciate their hospitality throughout the football and basketball seasons. But we're closing up here these last few minutes. The Athletic, your Athletic, put together their annual list of the college recruiting power rankings for recruiting, like potential.
Yeah.
And Georgia was number one, and Ohio State was number two. Wisconsin was number 23, which is exactly the same as last year. And I believe it ranks them eighth in the Big Ten. Washington and Nebraska and all the other ones that you would expect to be above them are above them. Is that about right?
I actually think this is a pretty reasonable number. And it was
also where they were last year.
Yeah, it was about, I think 10 of our staffers came up with their numbers, and it said the highest vote for Wisconsin was 19 and the lowest vote was 31. But yeah, think about what they just accomplished. A really good recruiting class, I believe 11 composite four-star players, and they're outside the top 20. I feel like getting a top 20 class is about as good as you can do right now when you consider, in part, the access to talent that Wisconsin has in the area. You obviously have to have a pipeline that spans the country, and I think Wisconsin has the staff in place to elevate itself a little bit, but you still got to deal with all these other 22 teams that are ahead of you, and I don't anticipate a lot of them falling off significantly.
Could Wisconsin be even better if they were able to lock down their own state?
I love this question that you did it with about 3 minutes left in the show, because I feel like this is a three-hour conversation. It would be a little bit better, but we're also talking about two or three guys every year in a 22-person class. But yeah,
sometimes
it's
more than that.
Is it more than three guys in a given?
The 2023 class was There's some guys in there. Now, again,
2022 when they lost the three.
Now, whether they wanted those guys again or not. But, it is definitely a much longer conversation. But I think it makes sense.
It feels fair. But I do think they're in as good a position as they can be at this point in time to elevate recruiting.
They have the people in place. Yeah. Now, because they're obviously losing Colin Hitchler is going to be a hit. How big of that hit, we'll see. But they have the recruiting department and the pieces in place to continue at this level. Whether it's pushing into the consistent top 20 classes, I don't know if that's ever going to be the case. But with NIL and with all the money coming into the Big Ten, you know that's a lot where the money's going to end up.
Well, what I was going to say was, how much does this even matter? Because how many of these guys are going to be there for 4 years, and how many guys are you going to go get from the portal? It's going to be half.
Jesse doesn't care about high school recruiting all of a sudden.
I'm just saying. I'm just trying to keep it real about where we're at, but recruiting's still very important.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, hey, I really appreciate you coming out here every Thursday, and we'll continue. Temple and Heilprin's done for right now, but we will continue talking football with the camp throughout the rest of spring ball and into the summer and into the fall, and you can follow along there. Jesse, thank you very much.
Thanks, Zach. It's been a pleasure.
All right, everybody, certainly do appreciate it, and Monks, we appreciate them having us out here every week. See you later.